congregation. We have children, youth, adults, seniors. There's a lot of things in the bulletin. Have a look at the bulletin for something that you might be interested in and get the date and times for those things and join up. I'm sure you'll enjoy whatever it is your interests, wherever your interests lie. Something that I will look forward to, for sure, because I love corn on the cob, is our annual corn roast, September the 24th. Have a look at that. Put it in your calendar. I know I'm going to enjoy that. And as well, there is one announcement that we need to switch in the joys and concerns. And unfortunately, Haiti Bihila passed away yesterday afternoon. And Paul will hope maybe elaborate on that a little bit. But she's not at Shaver. She has passed. Our condolences to the family. So now I'd like to call on the song leaders to come up and lead us in our first song.
All those who are able, you may want to stand to sing "Here I Am to Worship."
Our psalm reading this morning is from Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51, a psalm of David, and it goes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in inner parts. You teach me wisdom in inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for being a gracious God that forgives us our faults. We know we are not perfect. We know when we fall, you will be there for us. Also be with us this morning as we celebrate the new beginnings of many of our church programs. Be with us as we start our children's story this morning, and bless our dedication service for Taya as she continues her role as Director of Education. As our programs restart, bless the volunteers who help provide guidance in these programs, and bless the participants. Be with them as we go forward. Help us to keep you in our lives every day and not just on Sundays. Be with us as we try to do what is right in your eyes. In your name we pray. Amen. Song? Oh no, children's story. Here comes the children's story.
I know I'm not going to be alone up here. Come join me, friends. There they come. The sad thing is, congregations looked at us about children's story in Sunday school, and they said, "What is children's story?" What that? I couldn't believe it. It's been a long time. Here, we don't. You remember this even just a little bit? Do you remember doing children's story 2.5 years ago? It's been a long time, eh? Good. Well, I'm so glad we're back. And I'm really excited that we get to do this again on Sunday mornings. It's super awesome. So what else is super awesome? This week, everybody went to school. Thumbs up. Was it good? Thumbs down, thumbs middle, kind of some parts were good, other parts not. What do you think? I'm seeing a lot of, a little thumbs up, a little thumbs middle, right? Missing sleeping in, missing being able to just hang out at home, right? But what are some of the things that you did at school this week? What did you do? Anything? Okay, well, how about I'm going to guess. I feel like I might know a little bit about school. You read or have a story read to you? Any books? Yes, that was something that happened. What about, did you do anything with numbers? A little bit with numbers? Some math maybe? Yeah. Did you play games? Did you do some game playing? Yeah, that's awesome. What about something about science where you learned about some? Yeah, that's awesome. And did you have fun most of the time? Oh, well, jury's out on that one. That's okay. It's time to get used to school. You know what? Does anybody know why we go to school? No, Callan has no idea why. It's a head scratcher, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know why? Evelyn, why? Why do we go to school? You have to learn stuff. That's right. We all have things to learn, right? And one day, the hope is that you're going to grow up and you'll know enough stuff that when you go out and you live on your own and you have your own jobs and your own families, that you'll be able to take care of yourselves, right? That you're going to be able to pay your bills and read the newspaper and do good things for the world, right? So that is brings us back to here at church, because we learn stuff here at church too. We learn stuff in lots of different ways. How do we learn about God here at church? What's something we do here? And here's a hint. It's close to some of the stuff we do at school. Do we read stories? Yeah, we heard a great one today, didn't we, about creation? You all went on a trip, an imaginary field trip to the beginning of the world with God creating everything. It was awesome. Do we sing songs? Yeah, sure we do. We just sang one now together in the service, and we sang them downstairs in Sunday school. Do we play different games? Yeah, of course we do. We play lots of games. We play them in the gym, and we play them in our classrooms. We do all kinds of fun things, activities with Lego, all kinds of stuff to learn about how much God loves us. School is important because it teaches us the things we know so that one day we can be adults who can live on our own and be successful and have a good life. And here, learning at church and also learning about God in your home is important so that one day you can be adults who can be successful and live a godly life. And that's awesome. So this Sunday today, we're celebrating all things Christian education, all the awesome stuff that we do to learn about God. And we want to celebrate the fact that when we're learning about God, reading our Bible is super important. And today we have a student, a friend, who hit the magic age of grade 4, 9 years old, Corey, is that right? Yeah, and so Corey's getting his own Bible today. Do you want to come up and take this from me? There we go. That's Corey's own Bible, and he's going to be able to use that to learn more about God. So we're going to do two awesome things. One, we're going to pray, very important way to talk to God. We're going to pray for Corey and for everyone and all of the Christian education, for Taya as she moves into this new role of director of education. And then afterwards, stay seated because I have one more surprise for everyone. Okay, let's pray. God, thank you so much for these wonderful children and all the others who participate in all of our children's ministries. And we ask that you bless them all. In a special way, we ask that you bless Corey and help him to learn from the Bible and bless his time in the scripture. We also ask that you bless Taya as she takes on the new role of director of education and be with her in her educational path as well. And we ask that you bless this year of children's, youth, and adult learning ministries. Amen. Okay, so I feel really badly for all these people out here because they don't get to see the good stuff that we do. They have no idea how fun it is down there. They have no idea what all of our great kids programs look like. And they missed out on Vacation Bible Camp. Oh, so sad. No, your mom was there. That's right. She got it. Yeah. So we have a video that we're going to watch together. See if you can find yourselves in that. And this way our friends can get a little bit of a taste of what VBC was like. I think that the technology is also on summer vacation. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. We're super patient. No, endless patience. It's coming, it's coming. Now, it does have some music with it, but I know that's asking a lot. So we will just enjoy these awesome pictures. Well, I assure you, it was even better with the peppy song behind it. But I think I saw all of you there. Did you see yourself? Keep looking. You're there. And we are really, really grateful to everyone in our congregation. Many, many people donated baking, or they gave of their time, and they came and they helped and supported us, and we were so grateful for that, and it helped us to have such an amazing time together, didn't it? And we look forward to next year as well. But now we're excited about all of our other ministries getting started, our kids clubs and our youth and junior youth and young adults and Sunday school programming. So while we watch these last few photos go by and the last friendly faces, there were Mason and Veronica, I just saw you. We will head back to our seats and we'll move on. Thanks, friends.
All that enthusiasm, let's stand and sing "Great is the Lord."
Great. Good are you, Lord, you are holy and just. By your power we trust in your love. Great are you, Lord, you are holy and just. By your power we trust in your love. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great is your Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are you, Lord, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Please be seated.
Just in case you're wondering, the dedication this morning is not so much for you coming up here. You wanted to be down. That's right. You said you wanted to be down there. Okay. Correction, Ron. The dedication is not so much for Taya, but Taya, as Director of Education, is leading the dedication this morning. Yeah, as those of you part of the church membership last June, there was a bit of a change in Taya's work and job description. Taya, you're going back to school as well. Did you know, I learned this yesterday, did you know the root word for school and what it means? School, educators, you know this, right? Teachers, you know the root of the word school. In the Greek, it's a Greek word, also then in the Latin. In the Latin, it means free time. And in the Greek, it means leisure.
I have a hard time believing that.
Now, how things have changed, haven't they? And if you think of it, in ancient times, that leisure time was time to reflect and learn and process information. Therefore, and unfortunately, over the years, centuries, school has become more. Anyway,
more.
It's changed. Anyway, Taya, please, I digress, but please lead us. Go ahead.
So with this being the start of a new school year, depending on how much free time we all have, it's also the beginning, as we've heard, of our program year for our nursery, our Sunday school, our kids club, and our junior and senior youths, and our young adults as well. And we want to take time this morning to encourage and to bless our volunteers that enrich the lives of our children and are such an integral part in the running of our programs. And we want to do that not only as leadership, but also as a congregation and a faith community. So I will invite those that volunteer in any capacity with any of our children's programs, be it those things I've listed above, if you're leading a group or you're preparing a snack or you're doing all the wonderful things that make the programs work, if you would stand for us, please, so that we can extend our blessing and our dedication to you, we would greatly appreciate it. That's you too. Yeah, thank you. Good stuff. Thank you. Okay, so we have, oh, yes. Yeah. So we have a responsive litany above on the screen. So I will read that plain text that is italicized, and I invite you as the congregation to join along and read the text that is in bold. Okay. There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one God.
We give thanks for the gifts he has given us that have helped nurture and nourish our faith. Here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church.
These gifts God gave equip us for service to build up the church, the body of Christ, that some will grow to be apostles, some prophets, others evangelists, pastors, and some teachers.
We give thanks for all these gifts.
This morning, we give special thanks for our Sunday school teachers. We remember those instrumental in our own faith journeys.
those who led us to faith by singing us songs and telling us Bible stories, by welcoming and accepting us, even without our knowing, and by showing us how to follow Jesus. We lift to you now those who support the teaching ministry of this faith community. We look ahead at this upcoming year with hope and joy at the many possibilities to come. We dedicate this Sunday school year to you, O God, and pray that through it our students, teachers, and leaders, and congregation alike will grow and be strengthened as followers of your Son, Jesus Christ.
We affirm and encourage you, our teachers, in our Christian education ministry.
We dedicate ourselves to the support of our children and youth ministries and their leaders through prayer,
word, and deed.
I invite you to bow in prayer. God, you have called us to faith in Jesus, and this morning we renew our focus on following him as we remember our role as lifelong learners and seekers of faith. We give you thanks for all those who support the teaching and learning that takes place through this congregation. We ask for your wisdom as we share with all, especially the children, youth, and adults who will be participating this year in our educational ministries. Bless our times of study so that we may grow in faith with your word to guide us. Bless our times of fellowship so that we may truly live as sisters and brothers in Christ for one another as a faith community. Bless our times of prayer and worship so that we may be enriched in our spirits and go forth to serve as hands, feet, and voice of Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. Thank you.
Morning. I will be reading. Should I leave it? I will be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
May God speak to our hearts through the reading of the Word. The Apostle Paul's benediction that was just read to us. Now unto the King, eternal. As a community of faith, when we gather together, we do many things, including grieving. And we grieve for the loss of a brother or a sister within our faith community. We also grieve at the passing of our gracious Queen. This also happens to be the 21st anniversary of the falling of the Twin Towers in New York City. This is 9/11. So as we go to prayer this morning, let us remember to pray for loved ones. I will pause during the prayer to invite you to bring before our gracious King, eternal God, loved ones that are on your heart. And in our bulletin, you have noticed a number of names. Bring before our Heavenly Father, names that are on your heart. Let us pray together. And following the conclusion of our prayer, we will be led in our Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. We acknowledge before you our gracious King, our gracious God, that there is a time to laugh, there is a time to sing, and there is a time to mourn, there is a time to cry, there's a time to be silent, there is a time to speak out. And during this service of new beginnings, we do pause and we acknowledge with thanksgiving the various roles, the gifts, the ways in which we have been able to serve our great God, our great King, eternal. Although the Apostle Paul named himself the chief of sinners, we recognize, God, that we all fall short. And in the moments to come, we will sit quietly and listen to the message that Pastor Randy has prepared, that you have laid upon his heart from the Scriptures. For God, we acknowledge that all of us have received mercy. And we stand, as it were, under the powerful waterfall of your grace, whereby we are cleansed, whereby we come into right relationship with our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. For it is in his name, for it is through his work, that you are building your church. We thank you, God, that we have opportunity to support the work of this church, not only through our time and our talents, but also our tithes, the love offerings that have come into this place. And as we have placed our offerings during these days, during this service, we ask that you would bless these offerings. May they be used to the glory of God in this place, and as we support mission efforts in regions beyond. For troubled spots around the world, we pray, whether it be the troubled tribal wars of Ethiopia or the land grab in the Ukraine, for the loss of life, for those men and women who would seek to be peacemakers. We pray not only for those involved in the conflicts, but those, God, who are giving through acts of mercy and kindness and compassion. Thank you, God, for them. We also pray for our own country of Canada. Yes, we pray for the monarch. We pray for our Governor General, our Prime Minister, that you would give to us in our land sound government, clear decision making. And for those men and women who serve in positions of law enforcement, those who serve in hospitals, those who serve as emergency workers, paramedics, we thank you, God, that we are in a country, we live in a country that is mostly sound and secure. But for those, God, that grieve this day, it's a difficult day. And so we do pray and bring before you the names of loved ones and the families who grieve the passing of a loved one. Join with me as we pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Randy.
Thank you, Paul. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considers me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. I echo these words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote them to the younger minister Timothy, as an encouragement and support for the ministry ahead. For us as a congregation, this time of leadership transition, we know that there's more of a transition going on than just leadership, that we, together with the rest of the world, are experiencing great change. You know the challenges being faced in your families and especially places of work. Not only has the pandemic limited our relationships, but we're also feeling the cost of the financial strain in our struggle to afford not only groceries, but housing and all sorts of expenses, yet alone the availability of workers being felt across all sectors of the economy. As the Apostle Paul offers to Timothy, we are in deep need of strength to face the days ahead. On top of that, we are collectively grieving the loss of Queen Elizabeth, someone who has always been a constant, steady presence for most of our lives. The passage of Scripture read for us by Karen, 1 Timothy 1 to 12, chapter 1, 12 to 17, is part of a larger unit of thought that encompasses verses 3 to 20. Paul commands young Timothy to focus his teachings on the training he has received by faith. Paul knows there's many issues and squabbles by which a young minister could be tempted to tackle, that they would consume Timothy's entire time, his energy, without any real result of lives being changed. Instead, the wisdom Paul asserts for Timothy is to keep his goal on the focus of God's love, stemming from, he says, a pure heart, a good conscience, sincere faith. The focus which must not be lost is the gospel of Jesus, which God has entrusted to us as a congregation, as we shared in our dedication this morning, and also to us as individuals, to me as a minister. And this is the launching point for Paul's words of thankfulness for the strength and the trust given through Jesus' call to service. Today, sharing in that dedication of those who've responded to the call to serve the church in a variety of ministries, with children, youth, young adults, adults, and indeed the church as a whole. We all have a part to share in the nurture, in the care and support, growth for knowledge of God's invitation to a changed life because of Jesus. As we grasp these days with courage, we're also called to embrace faith in Jesus, who will provide the wisdom for us to meet the challenges ahead. It's been widely circulated that in the early 1900s, an advertisement appeared in a newspaper, the Times of London. The small ad read, "Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success." Intriguing. The supposed advertisement is signed by the famous Antarctic explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton, and it is said to have brought response from thousands of men. Interesting. Adventurous. Dangerous. The pitch certainly captures a certain glorious spirit. Ah, when ships were made of wood and men were made of steel, said one person who saw the ad recently. Was he referring that the opposite is true today when ships are made of steel and... The problem with the ad is that it's likely a myth, according to the historical research magazine Smithsonian. The earliest known publication of this ad, carrying a reprint, was in 1944. Shackleton died in 1922. And while many have searched the back issues of the Times of London, no one has been able to find evidence to confirm the reality, the existence of the ad. Makes for an interesting story. The Christian writer Warren Wiersbe is one person who has taken notice of the mythological ad and suggested, and here's the interesting point of this, Wiersbe suggested, if Jesus advertised for workers, the announcement might have read something like this. Men and women wanted, difficult task, helping to build my church. You will be often misunderstood, even by those working with you. You will face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor, and your full reward will not come until after your work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, even your life. Anybody interested? Being a volunteer with the church these days, or even as a pastor, it's something like what's reflected in Wiersbe's version of the advertisement. It's not a glamorous role in today's society. It's not one admired or even appreciated by many. For young people, pastoral ministry, a career, a calling, pretty low on the radar these days. Not the case for Timothy in our scripture reading. Pastoral role is a calling. Sharing in the lives of others through the ministries of the church, it is a calling, not just a sideline activity. And from Paul's own experience, he shares with Timothy fair warning of what will lie ahead, but also assuring him of the source of wisdom he will need to meet the challenges. The wisdom we need for the living of these days. Paul's experience of following Jesus is to basically tell young Timothy, yeah, there will be times when you get into situations when you're over your head, situations that no training will prepare you for. And that's when you will find out what it means to rely on the Spirit of God who will guide you. That's when you'll know what it means to depend on God. That's when you'll really hear God's calling to you to be there. The disciples of Peter and John, they certainly knew of what Paul spoke of. Early in the book of Acts, while they were publicly speaking about the resurrection of Jesus, and they were calling people to repent and change their lives by the power of Christ, what did it get them? Got them arrested, thrown in jail, told to zip it. Paul himself, he stumbled into one difficult situation after another because of his faith. He and Silas were accosted by the owners of a slave girl. Paul had grown tired of this girl's constant heckling, and so he cast the evil spirit out of her. And with that spirit gone, the girl's life was changed so completely. She couldn't perform for her owners the tasks by which they earned a living. Interesting scenario. Won't follow that one. Paul and Silas, they were dragged into the marketplace where they were stripped and beaten by an angry mob. Later, Paul was preaching of the life-changing power of Jesus in the city of Ephesus. The gospel, the life-changing power of Jesus, redirected the whole economy of the fabric of the city, resulting in an angry riot by a mob. Those people had lost their incomes. And you can count on it, they were looking for someone to blame for that. In these days, there are several other examples from Scripture that we see how people, when they came to know Jesus, had their lives radically changed and even changed their livelihoods. Because when people learn to know Jesus and accept Him as Savior and Lord, when they follow Him with their life, relationships change. One's focus for life changes. One's priorities change. One's motivations change. There's a reason why among you, there are those of us who have currently or maybe retired, spent your careers in the building construction trades, helping people to find a home and a place of business. There are those of you who work in education, training of others to grow in knowledge and understanding. Those of you who provide health care, support workers in various trades. And in all these and other vocations, they're focused on enriching the lives of others. That's a calling. That's a calling because there are other options in our society. But we don't hear that calling. We're focused on what will enrich the lives of others. When we focus our lives on the teaching and ministry of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ changes our outlook, changes our relationships, our motivations, the kind of thing that Paul, you referred to last Sunday in your message on the economics of following Christ. Because if you're serious about following Jesus, Jesus makes a difference in your life. I recall my own beginnings of faith journey, seriously considering Jesus. A good friend of mine challenged my loyalty as to who and how I spent my time. Clearly remember, in all sincerity, responding the first thing I could think of in the moment. God's got a hold of my life and you're asking me to choose? Rhetorical question on my part. And apparently, according to them, I gave the wrong answer. This was someone I respected deeply. I had friends who I appreciated, yet with time I wasn't drawn to the activities, the parties, where alcohol was freely consumed. I wasn't drawn to the need to experiment with drugs to alter my reality. There were various activities, even social causes, that simply didn't resonate with me. Not because they were inherently bad or evil, but because my growing focus on life's path took me in a different direction. And there was much the Spirit of God spared me from, because there was so much more of life's value that the Spirit was leading me to. Back to the Scriptures, Timothy chapter 1, verse 13-14. Even though I was once a blasphemer, Paul says, a persecutor, a violent man, I was shown mercy
because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I read this description and I almost visualize stuff I'm seeing today in the news. People who are angry. For a time I acted in ignorance and unbelief, yet the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. In our age of information that we live in, it's both a blessing and, I'll say, a curse. A blessing that we can immediately gain access to a wealth of information. It expands our understanding of God's universe. And at that same time, that wealth of information can overwhelm us to the extent that it immobilizes us. Because we keep looking for more and more information, and we're not sure what to do with it. These days, it seems like anger has become the drug of choice. In today's environment, think of it. It's infecting the country, especially their neighbors to the south. Communities and families dividing people, driving them into increasingly dangerous reactions to what they see, hear, and read. And it's getting every day on Facebook, cable news, and YouTube. We're being fed a steady diet of angry commentators spouting grievances. And if you don't have a grievance, don't fear. The media will create one for you. But know this. Our words, the words we hear from others, have consequences. And what we long for most is personal connection. Connection with real people, living real lives, striving with all our faults, all my faults, in following Jesus. If you embrace the gospel of Jesus, if Jesus is your focus of life, know that there will be times when you feel unprepared, times when you're over your head facing the challenges that come your way. As a husband, father, grandfather, and as a pastor, frequently I feel unprepared. Yet underneath, I know a dependence and a confidence that in prayer, I know the one who gives the wisdom to find a way. From his experience of hearing Jesus' call, resulting in a change of life's direction, the Apostle Paul assures Timothy, and he's assuring us, that we will be able to face the challenges that are certain to come because of the one whom we serve has called us. And that calling is from Jesus. Today, Jesus is calling us, calling you. Whether you've made a commitment to begin the journey of faith, or a commitment to volunteer to support a ministry of the church, or involved in some activity of the community that helps to enrich the lives of others, Jesus calls each of us to faith and trust in Him, to work by His Spirit to bring about change that demonstrates God's mercy in your life and the lives of others, and leads each of us to life eternal. I invite you to bow in prayer. Gracious God, it seems so long ago that Jesus walked the earth. And yet we know by His Spirit, through Your Word, You continue to speak to us in the quiet moments of leisure, when we do take time to be free from other constraints. You speak to us. as you did Elijah in the quiet of the mountain, as you did to Paul on his way to kill Christians, as you did to young Timothy, who grew up in a home of the faith where the scriptures were taught. Gracious God, we want to respond to that call, that our lives may be changed and that your healing grace and mercy will flow over to others in our homes, in our community, and places of work. Grant to us strength and courage for the living of these days, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
During these times of change and challenges, ahead, God give us strength as we follow Jesus. We will sing the first three verses of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, and then we can stand after the benediction and sing the last verse, the fourth verse.
Appreciation to those upstairs working the soundboard and the computer. It is a challenge. If you don't know, it can be rather complex at times. So thank you to the work volunteers upstairs. As we prepare to leave from this time of worship, give thanks to Jesus, who gives you strength, and that he considers you trustworthy by appointing you to his service. And we pray now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.